You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Wednesday edition. An announcement, we will not be having a show Friday. The studio is on a summer schedule, which means the offices and the studio are closed Friday. Now today I want to cover one story, but it's really a dozen stories, probably thousands of stories. And you probably don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to be talking about blockchain, and that's a revolutionary technology that will be disrupting a lot of industries, government, banks, financial institutions. Any company that does not keep up with it may find that its business model no longer works. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, and I debated whether or not I should even talk about it because it's going to take some time. But it's been going on for about 8 years. We identify it with Bitcoin. And yes, that is the technology that enabled Bitcoin to, or some more general category as cryptocurrencies. There's literally thousands of cryptocurrencies out there. And the key is it's a distributed system. It's not client server. It's peer-to-peer. It would eliminate transaction costs. And just for an example, I give a radio show and have a podcast. You have to go to either my site, which will link you into Podomatic. I have a companion blog, prontpops.wordpress.com, where I give you my notes, show prep, or at least some of my show prep. There's a lot of show prep for this show. As a matter of fact, there's too much. I should have cut it off, but I don't know what interests you, because I'm going to be talking not only about blockchain, but more importantly, what is destroying this country. We have government spending is out of control at all levels, and it's taking more and more of the resources of the private sector. And that's a problem, because if you want to maintain economic growth rates, and really we want to do more than that, we want to increase the rate of growth, you're going to need a massive reallocation of resources. And there's no leadership in Washington at all that's trying to do that. Matter of fact, they're trying to do just the opposite. They want to expand the size and the control of government. And you see that in the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is cracking up because they have a number of outspoken, what I call radical extremists, Democrat socialists, Reds, and they are Red, folks. They are socialist communists that would destroy the standard of living of the United States. And they do this by making government bigger and bigger and making you dependent on the government. Vote for me, I'll give you free stuff. I call that Santa Claus socialism. What it really is theft, using the force and the coercion of the government to force you to give more and more of your income and more of your wealth to the government so they can spend it. In the private sector, you would be arrested for robbery, theft, burglary. But if you're a congressman or senator and of this persuasion, of this ideology, it's one of using the force, really the coercion of the government, to steal your hard-earned income and the wealth you've brought up increase through taking risk. And what is the engine that's enabled the standard of living in the United States to go up, up, and up? Admittedly, much significantly less growth in the sense that, for example, in the Obama years, we didn't have, you've heard this statistic, one solid year, 3% real growth in the gross domestic product, GDP, of the United States. Not one. Now, we had some quarters of over 3%, 4%. But the average, and this is very important, it's a big difference. If you have an economy growing at 2%, compare that with one at 3%, and a growing, booming economy at 4%, and it persists over 10, 20, 30, 40 years, what happens is at the end of that period, the people that were in an economy growing at 4%, and there are not very many of them, will have a dramatically, significantly higher income, and I'm assuming they both start at the same spot, than one, for example, growing just as 2%. So a small percentage difference over time makes a big difference in what your money can purchase. Remember, your money is in a medium of exchange. It's trusted. Why? Because you can exchange your money for goods and services. Money depends on trust, and that's the key, and that's one of the advantages of a blockchain technology. You can trust third parties that you totally don't know. That's why people today, for example, let's say I wanted to purchase something on the internet. I'm going to where? Typically a site for a store. Usually I'm using a credit card. I can use PayPal and other things, but they're still taking their cut. And that's one of the advantages of blockchain. You can have zero transaction costs. Now, that doesn't mean the technology is free, but the danger, for example, yesterday, I went into a store, Target. I really needed one thing. I needed wooden hangers. They didn't have the wooden hangers that I wanted. And that's what drives me crazy about these stores. They'll have an item, then discontinue it, go to another item, now replaced it with another item that I didn't want. It was a wooden hanger, but it wasn't the wooden hangers that I wanted. So I'm out of luck there. But just by accident, there was a wastebasket that I wanted that I was looking for 6 months ago. I went into a different store, and lo and behold, they had two. I only bought one. But I wanted a certain design to match what I already have. That's the key. What I was trying to do is match what I already have. That means I had to get it in the car, drive to the store, look for it first, and initially I had troubles finding it. Always ask, by the way. I've found this. It's common sense, but don't waste your time. Just go immediately to the person. Now, a lot of times they don't know. This person actually knew where what I was looking for was, because they keep moving things around and confuse you. That's another thing that I think these stores are nuts. It's not so bad with Target, because I seldom go there, but grocery store like Kroger, I think they've changed the floor plan at least, three, maybe four times, at least in the last 6-7 years. So people can't find anything. Even the people there don't know where it is. Why should I put up with this inconvenience? Now, I don't shop except for big, big dollar items on the internet. But I think that's going to change, especially with a blockchain technology coming along. It enables people to, for example, sell, let's say you're a songwriter, musician, and composed a song. Well, it's really difficult today to earn any money, earn a living in terms of songwriting. That's not the way it used to be. But with blockchain technology, we could have a very low price for the song. Fractions of a penny or 10 cents. You can value it what you want. You can put your content in what's called a block. Think of it as a record. But it could be a song. It could be a video. It could be an item that you want to sell. And the transaction is between who? Between you and the person selling it. It's cutting out the middleman. And it's the market makers, the middlemen, the stores, including online, that are going to take a hit. You don't need to have a store selling your merchandise. Now, this is not going to happen overnight, but it's very, very important because it challenges established institutions and makes transacting of business significantly cheaper. Now, all of this is going to take time to develop. And why is it important? It's safe and secure because, and I'm not going to have a technical show on the blockchain technology. It's simply too complicated. The average listener, for example, I'm looking at a web page. Well, I could, if I wanted to, not using any tools, just text, put together a web page. That's maybe one out of 100 people could do that. Now, there are other people that could do it, but won't do it. I'm out of that. I was briefly in that business and saw that the tools are available, but it's not a, don't get me wrong, you're going to have increasingly more business transacted over the web. But you don't know, you don't need to know how what you're seeing is presented. You don't. The key resistor, and where there's a lot of resistance, is can I trust the other party? So one of the things they'll be doing is your identity on the web, your reputation on the web. That's one of the things that will be included in a blockchain. Am I dealing with a reputable store, a reputable company? Have they had any people, and you see this, and the word is spread word of mouth, where you know you're not dealing with a reputable company. Word spreads. Or you have your own experience with them, and you never do business with them again. There's always some bad apples. In every industry there's bad apples. The fewer, the better. And it's going to, I think, blockchain will, it's never going to get rid of it, but it's dramatically going to decrease that. Because your reputation will follow you around. People will be able to check it out. Now, I'm raising this. You could have several lectures, and I've given you several videos. I'm not going to play them. But you need to be acquainted with it. Yes, there's investment opportunity like anything. But it is, I guess, the best way to explain it, but I think depends when you were born. I think it was 1969. A movie came out, a very famous movie, The Graduate. And I saw it in a theater in Berkeley. And a lot of it, the university they showed was not Berkeley, but it supposedly took place in an apartment in Berkeley. Well, I lived in Berkeley in an apartment then. Saw the movie. And early in the movie, Benjamin came to a party that his parents threw, and one of the businessmen came up to him by the pool and said one word to him, plastics, plastics. And Benjamin sort of looked at him like, okay, well, if they're going to redo that movie today, what would be the one word? Blockchain. Now, I've already gotten the question. Is blockchain two words or one word? Originally, it was two words. Now, it's one word. And yes, it's most identified with Bitcoin, but don't think of cryptocurrencies as blockchain. Blockchain enables many, many, many technologies. Anywhere you want to exchange value, freely exchange value, it is a direct threat to financial institutions, banks in particular, but also stock markets, stock brokers. It cuts down the transaction cost significantly. It doesn't make it zero because you need the computers to do these transactions, and people are investing in it, and they make money. They're called miners that supply the infrastructure by enabling the transactions. So it is a force that will disrupt industry, disrupt governments, and make it easier for people to exchange anything of value with total strangers. Now, the lead story today, and this is how I got on this subject, every year the Federal Reserve Chairman, head of the Central Bank of the United States, that's what the Federal Reserve System is. It's a quasi-public-private institution. It's really the bankers colluding with the government is the best way to see it. I always get a chuckle out of this about the independence of the Federal Reserve. It's never been independent. It was designed not to be independent. Now, the propaganda is it's independent. It's independent. But so damn independent, why do they meet every day, not every day, every week or at least every month with the Treasury Secretary? They want to keep the cost of borrowing for the federal government down. Are you surprised that for 2008 to 2015, the near zero interest rate policy for federal funds, it kept the federal funds rate, the rate that banks charge each other for lending money overnight, near zero. It was 25 basis points. In other words, between zero and 0.25. And by keeping it that low, what did that enable? That enabled the federal government to pay its bills. Because guess what? If you add up all the tax collections, income taxes are the big ones, both individual, personal, and corporate, as well as capital gains taxes, all income tax-based revenues, including estate and gift taxes, but also payroll taxes to pay for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. If you add all that up, that's a lot of revenue. We are still short hundreds of billions of dollars. Hundreds of billions. When Obama first came in, it was over $1,400 billion, then $1,300 billion, and $1,300 billion. That's a lot of money, folks. We have to borrow it. So when spending is out of control, how do you know that? Just look at the debt going up, up, and up. When you have to borrow that much money, and it's mind-boggling, the debt doubled, nearly doubled under Obama compared to Bush, and then nearly doubled again, or will, under Trump. As a matter of fact, I think it will more than double. The problem is, if you continue to elect, vote for Democrats or Republicans, the problem is not going to be solved. It's not going to be solved. You need to wake up to that. As the late Ross Perot used to say, we're in deep doo-doo. I'm trying to clean doo-doo up. I could say feces. I can't say what you normally say, but I like doo-doo. We're in deep doo-doo. And the doo-doo is going to hit the fan and spread. And what's sad about this, who is it going to hurt the most? It's not going to hurt the rich or the very wealthy. It's just not going to do it, folks. They made sure they're well taken care of. It's going to hurt at least two-thirds of the American people. At least two-thirds, because what's going to happen? They're going to have to significantly cut your Social Security check and your Medicare benefits. Either they do that, or they're going to have to significantly increase payroll taxes. And that's going to really affect the growth rates. You see, what Trump and his economists, and it's not just Trump, by the way, they would say the answer to all our problems, or at least to address this problem, is economic growth rates, higher economic growth rates. By higher, I mean above the average growth rate. The average until Obama was between 3 and 3.5%. Depends when you start and when you end. But historically, that has been the average until Obama was in. Now it's not between 3 and 3.5%. It's 3% or less, again, depending when you want to start. There will be a day of reckoning. And that's what I'm talking about, a day of reckoning when the bills come due. And what happens at the day of reckoning? People that normally would invest in treasury securities, whether bonds, notes, or bills, will say, well, we'll lend you the money, but you're too risky. And what does that mean in terms of an investor? What they're saying is, you're going to have to pay me more interest, significantly more interest. In other words, we become like Greece. And suddenly, the rates go up by 2, 3, 4% percentages. In other words, if the average was 3%, it would go to 4, 5, 6%. Now, when this happens, I think we'll be at the high end of so-called normal rates. Donald Trump, President Trump, has been complaining about the Fed setting the federal funds rate target too high. And what they've been doing up to now is increasing the target. They should have been doing this for years. They didn't do it. They waited too long. Which brings me to the overriding point that is almost never brought up. If you look at the history of the Federal Reserve that was established by law in 1913, they started business in 1914. So they have a 105-year history, going on 105 years. Now, they will clearly state that one of their goals, one of their major goals, is price stability, whatever that means. Now, for most people, if you say price stability, they would say, well, not every price, but the general price level more or less is steady. Sometimes it might be a little up or down, but value of the dollar would not decrease. But in point of fact, the value of the dollar, the purchasing power of the dollar, since the Fed started in business, remember, for several hundred years, we didn't have a central bank in the United States. It's lost its value. It's less than 2 cents today and still going down. Now, sometimes the value goes up. In the Great Depression, it went up. Why? Because prices were going down. There's an inverse relationship. So when the purchasing power is going down, and that's been most of the time, with the exception of the Great Depression years, the 30s, the value of the dollar has gone down, down, and down, sometimes slower, sometimes faster. Who benefits from the value of dollar going down? Debtors do. Debtors. People that borrow money. Who is the biggest borrower of money by far? It's the federal government. They benefit from what? A declining value of the dollar. In other words, prices going up, up, and up. That's why I say they're not independent. You better believe they're not independent. They're in cahoots with the Treasury, in turn in cahoots with Congress. Because what has been the bias of Democrats and Republicans, whether representatives or senators, for over 100 years? It's more and more government. And now the bills are coming due, big time coming due. But they don't talk about this. They don't talk about this at all. You don't want to embarrass them. But let's be fair here. Who's to blame? You're to blame. I'm to blame. Why? We voted for Democrats and Republicans, not realizing that what they're trying to do mostly is make you dependent on them, make you dependent on the government so they can control you, coerce you. And that's what they're doing. And there's no easy answer here. Now, there are things that can be done to reverse it, but we should have been doing it over the last 30, 40, 50 years, but we haven't. The problem has actually got worse, worse, and worse. We see it in the national debt going up, but that's, I always say, is the tip of the iceberg. What they never talk about, almost never, is what's called unfunded obligations or unfunded liabilities. What are they? Well, government, the federal government, has made promises to you and me, as well as the people that work for them, to give a Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and a pension. Now, if you're a business owner and make those promises, what do you have to do? You have to fund that promise. And you have to make investments so that when the person retires or becomes eligible for the benefit, there's money there to pay it. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, we're running out of that money. Both Social Security and Medicare are running deficits, and it's getting worse, worse, and worse. The money's not there because they never set it aside. See, the government are thieves, and we let them get away with this. We want to be fooled. We want to believe there's a free lunch, a free education. I'm getting a real kick about all these radical, extremist, Democrat, socialists that are promising you this, that, and the other thing when we're already broke. They're making it worse. And we have children, and I do mean children, that believe in Santa Claus, believe in the Easter Bunny, believe in the Tooth Fairy, and yes, believe that the United States government is going to have the money to pay these benefits. Let me disabuse you of that fact. It's not going to have the money. There will be a day of reckoning. We're already, for all practical purposes, bankrupt. We just hide it better. So I wanted you to at least hear the opening statement of Powell and focus in on what he's talking about.
Chair Powell, welcome back to the committee. Because of the tax cut and regulatory reforms, the U.S. has seen unprecedented economic growth, wage growth, as well as record low unemployment.
Well, see, this is nonsense. This is a Republican. It doesn't matter. Unprecedented growth? No, we haven't. Where's this guy? He's one of your representatives. The Democrats are worse, by the way. I don't want to pick on this guy. This is not unprecedented growth. In my mind, unprecedented growth would be 5% for 5 years. We've never had it, sir. Oh, yeah, we've had 5% growth for a couple of months, a couple of quarters. This is not a boom. This is a rather shaky continuation. I'll be the first to say, yes, we've had 10 years of an expanding economy, but it hasn't been expanding at rates exceeding the average, the historical average, over many decades. And the reason why you're never going to see it again is because of the size, the sheer size, not only the national debt, but the unfunded liabilities that are over $200 trillion. That's over $200,000 billion. There's no way we're ever going to pay this off. What we're going to do is increase taxes. You better believe that. And we're going to cut benefits. And we're going to means test them. None of this is popular with the people.
Employment and stable prices. And since the last time you were here.
He's glossing over this. It's A, he's lying. This is not a boom. This stable prices is not when the rate of inflation is approaching 2%. That's not stable. Stable prices, sir, is around zero. It's never going to be exactly zero. It could be a little above or below, but it's not 2%. That's the, you want to know why a 1914 U.S. dollar is only worth 2 cents today? It's because we don't have price stability. That's why I'm for just so you know where I'm coming from, I'm for abolishing the Fed. They've been a failure, failure, failure. Making mistakes? They always make mistakes. Their existence is a mistake. It was really to support banking cartels.
A mostly steady economy with unemployment at 3.7% and consumer prices only.
Let's talk about the unemployment rate. First of all, at one time there were actually 7 unemployment rates that the government statistics put out. Now there's 6. You can believe none of them. The 7th one that they got rid of is closest to reality, but you have to go to shadow statistics. They at least calculate it the way they used to. Right now, we have 3.7% U3 unemployment rate. That translates into about 6 million people being unemployed. But that's not a good number at all. A better number is the U6 rate. We still publish the U6 rate. That's double. A rule of thumb is roughly double. In a recession, it's more than double. It's at 7.6%. So that means there are probably close to 13 million people, by the government's own statistics, that are not working. But is that really the true situation? They don't count people that after a year can't find a job. They don't. It's estimated that the real unemployment rate, if you use U7, is around 21-22%. In other words, you got to multiply by 3. That's a lot of people, folks. That's an additional, well, total wise, if U3 is 6 million and if U6 is 13, U7, if it was still published, would be somewhere over 20 billion, about 23-24. Well, it looks like I'm not going to be able to play. I'm going to make this a two-parter, and I'll do part two. We're not having a show Thursday, but I'll do part two Monday for sure when I have more time, because I've just gotten wound up on this, and there's a lot to cover. But I do want to cover the statement and use that as a way to illustrate the problem. The bottom line here is you can't trust government statistics. They're designed, they're basically public relations tools to make you all feel happy. Now, when we get in a recession, unfortunately, the numbers, even the ones that are supposed to make you happy, instead of being at 3.7%, they're over 10%. So you got to understand that don't trust government statistics. Don't trust the government. They're giving you a story, a lie, and their representatives perpetuate the lie. We're in serious financial trouble. How serious? Big time serious. This leads to people marching in the streets, and that is going to happen probably in the next 10 years. This house of cards is going to fall, and a lot of people are going to be hurt, and a lot of people that were expecting a nice government check are not going to get the check, or they're going to get a lot less. Thank you for listening, and now, my favorite song, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.